welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Good to see you this morning. It is a lovely day outside. It's a lovely day inside here where we are together celebrating and magnifying the Lord. I thought we were led into worship this morning in a wonderful way. The words that we sang were very powerful and should touch any heart, especially a believer's heart. Just being here last week, I had to be out of the country just that weekend. So we missed up following through on the kingdom of God. Looking at our turnout today, aware that this is holiday time, and because of the subject that we're dealing with, I am not going to pick up on it this morning. The subject that we're dealing with is the kingdom of God. It is such an important subject, as I've already communicated earlier in addressing this subject. We can never and will never understand not just the church, but its function, its purpose, its makeup, and the requirements that it has to be able to function. The kingdom of God is so important. You can never understand the church, as I've said, without understanding the kingdom. So if it's all right with you, I am going to, as much as I'd love to go on down there this morning, I think it would be profitable for me to revert to it when more of us are back from holiday. I'm going to pick up on something that really hit me in one of the songs we sang this morning. And I just want to respond, share a word based upon this, and it really did hit me. It was a new song, and I don't know which one it was, but I penned it down. I give, and we sang this. You sang that. I sang this. I give my whole life to honor this love. A life that means death to death. Wow. That hit me. That hit me right there between the eyes. What a statement of Christian commitment. Because that's really what it is. That in those few words expound or communicate the message of the New Testament. But read it again. I give my whole life. You know, if you and I read that, that immediately is a challenge to me as an individual. We can't sing that without it being a challenge. If we sing a song like that without it being a challenge, surely we must become instantly aware of the fact that we're not worshiping God, we're singing words. In whatever we sing, I give my whole life to honor this love of God for us, this love that never fails, this love that was expressed in Christ Jesus. And life means death. Did I put it there? And life for me means death. To death. That's what it is. And life for me, that's what we're saying, means death. To death. Think about that one. I'm not going to keep you. I'm going to turn you to a passage that came to my mind immediately. I read it, and you'll find it. And as soon as I mention this, I hope it's familiar immediately in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Is it 23? Book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 220. Just before I start to touch this, let me say concerning the kingdom of God and its importance in understanding the church and our part in God's plan, because the message of the kingdom is a message that overwhelms really every other message. It is the message where Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the bottom line of it. And understanding, therefore, the kingdom is of great importance to us. Just going to remind you again and not go any further than this, but to remind you of the fact that there are two kingdoms. There used only to be, in the original, the beginning of time, there was only one kingdom. And that was the kingdom of God's dear Son. That was the kingdom of God. There was no other kingdom. In that kingdom, there was the rule of God. It was God's will being done. The extension of that kingdom in terms of time was the extension of the time of Adam and Eve. It was they that exhibited until they opened the door for another kingdom to exist. It was they that fulfilled the kingdom of God. It was they that walked in the ways and will of God until they were approached by Satan, tempted by Satan. And from that point on, everything changed because they aligned themselves up with this kingdom of darkness. They aligned themselves up with Satan rather than with God. They had a choice. They had a choice to live in this kingdom of God where the Bible says the kingdom of God is a great place to be, and the kingdom of Satan. John put it so well in John 10, verse 10. He says, Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What a contrast. And there, in that simple two verses, is an expression of the kingdom of God in contrast to the kingdom of darkness. But there was only one kingdom. It was God's kingdom. Adam and Eve were our forefathers, whether we like that or not. God created, as you know, man, and he made out of man woman, and together they became husband and wife. And so from them, our genealogy started. And when they turned their allegiance from God and placed it on Satan, in other words, they chose to disbelieve God and believe that what God, Satan, said was right, they turned their back upon God. They nullified God, and they and their children were brought up aware, not of God's kingdom, but of the kingdom of Satan. Listen to him. And the rules of the kingdom of Satan is this, exactly this. Do what you like, when you like, how you feel, when you feel. There are no laws. There are no laws. There are no barriers. You just act as you wish. You have no one to answer to. You are a right. You have a right to do what you want. You are a free person. And so the kingdom of God was a short-lived kingdom in that sense. And the kingdom of darkness has reigned since that time when Adam and Eve took the fruit of the tree, or the apple, bit it, gave it to Adam, and he chewed it. And from that moment on, until this day, the kingdom of darkness has been the kingdom that people live in. And it's important that we can grasp that. Not just in our head, but get into our spirit, man. Talk about it. Go home and talk about what I've just said. Tear it to pieces. And out of that, let something get into your spirit, man, about this kingdom of darkness and how does it operate. It is the kingdom of darkness. The Bible talks about it being the kingdom of darkness. It is the kingdom of darkness because it is the kingdom whereby the king is Satan. Satan does no good for anybody. Satan only uses people. God loves. And instead of using people, he dies for people. Wow, what a contrast. And so this kingdom, it's so important to understand it. And it's so important to understand the origin of it. The kingdom of God existed in the lives of Adam and Eve until they chose against the kingdom of God and the teaching of God and the words of God. They chose the words of Satan. And in so doing, they took control out of the king, out of God's hands, out of the kingdom of God. And they says, we're going to follow this man. And from that day, they and their children, right down to us today, right down to young, where is she? She's upstairs. Blessing, of course, blessing. Is in the same circumstance. So it's so important we get this clear. You know, it's not something fictitious. It's not just something invisible. It's something very tangible and real. Engraved in our children is the kingdom of darkness. Yes. It wasn't engraved in our children. I'm not joking. I'm telling you it wasn't. Because we dealt with that. We dealt with it in our relationship with God. We dealt with it, every one of our children. 9 months before, couldn't have done it earlier than that because we didn't know, but from 9 months, from the time that we knew that, in this case, Hillary was expecting, every day, every one of our children, 9 months before, they were committed to God, they were prayed for, I want to tell you, the whole Bible was covered on them every day. Is that right? The devil didn't have a chance to get into ours in that way. That doesn't mean to say that we still don't have a free will. We couldn't make our children and still can't make them do anything. You know, we lead by example. But the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness are two very important subjects to understand. So when I'm talking about the kingdom of God, it's important that we understand that the kingdom of God is not the kingdom that is ruling this planet today. It should be. And I have to be careful because every time I take another step, I open up another huge area of teaching. It should be. But today, the kingdom of God is not ruling our planet. Kingdom of God is in existence. So we have these two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness would never have existed if Adam and Eve hadn't have done what they did. They disbelieved God and they believed Satan. And from that time on to this day, mankind has been choosing to believe Satan against the word of God. And we have to contend with that. We have to understand it. So I'm not going to go any further than that this morning, but just keep it before your thinking. Because I want us to come to a place where we understand both the kingdom of God and the church. Because it's the most powerful thing this planet has ever experienced. Hallelujah. I want to tell you there is a war taking place today. And I want to tell you I am privileged to be in a position to tell you I know which side to be on because I know which sides are not just winning, but has won. Isn't it wonderful if you can know years in advance what's going to happen? Well, praise God. I can and you can know that. I'm not going to talk any more about that. I'm going to pick up on what I want to respond to because of these few words that we sang this morning. Did we sing them? Yes, we did. I give my whole life. It challenged me. As soon as I saw those words and I sang them, I gave my whole life to honor this love. Do we? Do we? I give my whole life to honor this love. And life for me, you and I are living it right now. Life for me means death to death. Hallelujah. Death is my enemy. Is it not yours? It is. Death in the lives of people becomes my enemy too. And as a Christian, every one of us should say, death is my enemy, not just for me, but for whoever. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? So death for me, life for me should be death to death. I turned you to Galatians 2:20. Paul came to a point where he made this great statement. I'm just going to break into verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. What a statement there. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. That's how important it was for him. He was a theologian of his day. He was a leader of men. He was a spiritual leader of men. And yet he comes out with a statement like that in verse 19. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. In other words, he said, that which I'd been raised up in, that which I'd been trained in, that which I became proficient in, that which I became an authority in, I died to it. Because it was stopping me. It was hindering me from being what God had called me to be and receiving what God had offered to me. And he said, I through the law died to the law. Why, that was a great statement. That made him an enemy of all the Pharisees and Sadducees of the day. That made him a target for every religious person that there was around. He was going out gunning after this law, because the law kills. The Bible says the letter gives life. It's the spirit gives life, but the law, letter of the law, kills. The law kills. God loves the world. That love comes out of grace, undeserved favor. Hallelujah. Undeserved it. I'm an undeserved blessing. Because I have the blessing of God in my life and I don't deserve it. And here Paul boldly says, I'm going to contradict the law. I'm going to live not what the law says, not what the kingdom of darkness is trying to communicate to me, but I'm going to live what God's saying to me, what the kingdom of God is communicating. And then he goes on and says, I have been, and remember, I'm picking this up because of the words we sang in the hymn. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now we're starting getting somewhere near these words, and perhaps this is where they got the words from. I give my whole life to honor this love, and life for me means death to death. And so Paul comes out, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. It's interesting that the way he phrased that. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. In other words, the way I'm living my life today is based upon what Jesus Christ has said is the way I should live. Faith. I have no evidence, I have no grounds for this, but I believe what Jesus Christ has said, and therefore I'm going to live by it. And that was the conflict that he had. He was standing for, and I'm not preaching the kingdom of God right now, but you'll be amazed how the kingdom of God affects everything on the planet. Kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. He said, He said, I am, what's my train of thought there? All right, what am I saying to you? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. What he was saying is now, I'm under a new occupier. There is somebody else in charge of this body today. And I am living my life in accordance to him. What he was talking about was living his life according to the kingdom of God, not according to the kingdom of darkness. He was saying, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But the life that I now live, it's different. I didn't put my hand up in a service and say, I want to get saved. I did do that. He said, but it was simply an outward expression of something that was taking place inside of me, and through faith I was believing that the way of God was perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what he was saying. I am crucified with Christ. When I put my hand up, and you put your hand up, or ask Christ to come into your life as your Savior, you were aligning yourself up with the kingdom of God. You were saying no to the kingdom of darkness. You were saying that you're going to walk according to God's ways and no longer the ways the world would have you walk. I unconsciously, I'm sure you were the same, lived and walked according to the ways of the world, mostly. I didn't do a lot of the bad things, but I thought the way most of the people thought, and it was an obvious conclusion. But God's way is perfect. And it's far higher than anything that we can imagine. And so when we are testifying to the fact that we love God this much, there has to be an evidence and a witness to that. And that witness can only be found in how much the kingdom of God can be seen in us. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. It's totally the opposite to the kingdom of darkness. Every now and then it would be good for us to examine ourselves to see how much of the kingdom of darkness sneaks in every now and then into our lives. But the kingdom of God is peace and joy. How? How? How do you have peace and joy when someone has just done the most unbelievable thing to you, said the most unbelievable thing to you, or whatever? How do you do that? How do you still walk in the light of the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of darkness? By faith. By faith. You turn the other cheek. You see, that's what you read in Matthew's gospel. So if they slap you on this side, turn the other one. But you see, that's not in our thinking mostly, and that scares me. That scares me. Because if that's not in our thinking, it means how much of Christ's salvation have I really got? How can I say that Christ in me, the hope of glory, is a very present experience for me throughout the day? When I'm as willing and to turn around and react instead of respond, which is what Jesus would do. How do you do that? Again, remind you, I'm just picking up on those verses those words that we sang. And I want to challenge you with that. I'm not going to keep it any longer. I want to challenge you with that. It's you and God. It's me and God. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to check you out. You're not here to check me out. You are there to check you out, and I'm here to check me out. And as you and I will do that all the time, and checking ourselves out is secondary to reading this, because you won't know how to check yourself out if you don't read this. You won't know if you're walking in righteousness or walking in unrighteousness. You and I won't know if we're behaving in an unrighteous manner, our attitude is unrighteous or righteous, without reading this. You'd be amazed. We were reading this morning in James, just chapter 1. Read just James chapter 1, and you're like, whoa. The only way we will know whether we're walking in righteousness is we walk according to this. And to do that, we have to read the Word. Now, that's just a little word I've shared this morning outside of what we're doing and where we're going. but to the end that we as a church might realize increasingly that we have responsibility to God because we're in His kingdom. And it's the kingdom of light. It's the kingdom of life. It's the kingdom of God's dear Son. And the world needs that kingdom.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.